Welcome to the T&D podcast brought to you by TomTom. We think you're trucking awesome. You deserve a trucking awesome app. That's why today we're excited to talk about the ultimate trucking companion, TomTom Go Navigation. With premium features designed to make every delivery a breeze, Go Navigation ensures you reach your destination efficiently and stress-free.
Hello and welcome to the Truck and Driver podcast. It's Matt Ireland hosting once again as Dougie's pretty busy. So today I'm joined by my good friend Rob Billman. Hello Rob.
Hello mate.
Are you right?
I am, very good, thank you.
Good, good. Just thought we'd have a little chat about your career and what it's led to, especially with Swedefest.
It's been a long road, hasn't it?
It has, yeah. So how did you get into this wonderful industry of ours then?
The industry... I guess from an early age as a child, you see these lorries and you're fascinated by them, and living around farms, there was always lorries around.
Yeah.
And it was just a fascination really that it was never on my path to actually go into haulage.
Yeah.
It was just, they were part of the agricultural scene. Yeah. Agriculture was where I want to be.
Right.
And I think I was on a farm at the age of 16, and I needed a piece of machinery out of a shed, and there was a Leyland constructor sitting in the shed, and it was in my way.
Right.
And I went and asked the driver to move it, and he said, well, I'll be there in a minute. And after about half an hour, I'm getting quite frustrated, and he says, if you're that bothered, go move it yourself. And I thought, well, how hard can it be?
Yeah.
So I jumped in it, reversed out of the shed, drove around the corner, and he looks at me, he said, how'd you do that? And I saw the same way as you did. And he said, but how did you know? I said, I've sat in a lorry enough times to understand how they work.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how it went. And for many years after that, jumped in a lorry whenever I could.
Yeah.
Worked for some quite big farming companies that had lorries.
Yeah.
And I would always be jumping on shunters and doing whatever. Ended up several years later in 2000s being employed as a shunter driver on a very, very large potato growing concern.
Right.
And after the first season, some days I'd be about 30, 35 trailer movements a day. And they came to me and said, would I like to take my test?
All right.
And they actually paid for my license.
That's a result.
That was a result.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So would you have had to done category C1?
Yes.
And C, and then CE?
Not the C1.
Not C1, because you would have been over 18.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, not the C1.
Yeah.
So I had to sit both parts of the test.
Yeah.
Plus theory.
Yeah, so, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Hazard perception?
Yes. That was part of it. Although that was fairly new at the time, I think.
Yeah, it was.
I don't think many people had done it.
No.
Yeah, because I was so late in the day, obviously people of our age got to jump straight onto a Class 1 straight away.
Yeah.
You know, I was that late into the game.
Yeah. I missed out on C1 by about 6 months because it changed from whenever it changed. The next year was my birthday at 17.
Yeah.
So mates of mine and people who are just slightly older automatically could drive a 7.5 tonne, but I had to do a test.
Yeah.
Which was quite galling. But again, Jim Camack at NC Camack and Son paid for all of my tests back in the day. So
yeah.
Thank to him, he gave me a good start. So, And so driving a Leyland constructor clearly didn't put you off driving a truck.
No, but I've never driven one since.
No?
No.
Is that a good or a bad thing?
Don't know the answer. Yeah, I did drive a road train once, but again, that was only very briefly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I actually drove that through Whittington factory.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I wasn't, obviously, I don't think I had a car licence at the time either.
Yeah.
But this chap who always just said, hey, I have a go at this.
Yeah.
Here we are, driving through Whittington factory. And I thought, it's a bit daunting now, because even I go to Whittington now and I think, wow.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and British Sugar are quite well known for their health and safety.
Yeah. They, obviously, this was back in the old dark times.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
Nobody took too much notice.
No, I mean, absolutely.
Certainly, I don't think anybody wore a high-vis vest.
No. Things of the future, they were.
Yeah.
That's for certain.
Yeah. You imagine walking through with a high-vis vest in that day, they'd think you'd stolen something.
Yeah, I reckon so, yeah. You'd probably get shouted at for wearing it.
Yeah, probably, yeah. But, so that was kind of how that went. And so passed the test in April 2001.
Mm-hmm.
bounced around for a little bit with that employer, decided it wasn't really for me because I didn't really want to do nights out, which was quite an odd thing to say at the time.
Yeah.
Went doing local sugar beet and decided that didn't really fit. Ended up working for a guy doing liquid waste, so basically angling water work, if you like.
Yeah.
And I blame him, in all honesty, for me becoming an owner driver, because in the January, I started with him on the in the January, and first thing in the morning, we jumped in the truck, and he didn't actually own a lorry at the time, but he'd got a trailer, so we went to go and hire a tractor unit, and we gets in his truck, and hadn't really sort of said a great deal about anything, and he just suddenly says, "Would you ever become an owner driver?" And I said, "No, never. Never would I do that." And he said, "Oh, don't do that." I said, "Why?" He said, don't, never say never." He said, "That's just the wrong thing to do."
Yeah.
Well, that was in the January. By December, I'd bought my first lorry. So it was all his fault, really. Yeah. You know, if he'd just stayed still or asked what I had for breakfast, we'd have probably never gone down that route.
Yeah. He probably would have had a full head of hair.
Yeah, probably, yeah. So by the December, I'd bought my first lorry, and
what was your first?
My first lorry was a there's a strange story there, really, to be fair.
Yeah.
The first lorry I drove when I passed my test was an ERF EC10, which I now own.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Little four-wheeler, isn't it?
Yeah. The second lorry I drove when I passed my test, i.e. the next lorry that I moved up from the ERF in, was a 114 380 Scania.
Yeah.
That lorry was then the truck that I purchased secondhand, obviously, for my first owner driver truck. So me and the truck had got history already.
Yeah.
So I'd done, say, 150,000-200,000 kilometres in that truck.
Yeah.
And then it came up for sale, and I thought,
you know it.
I know
it. You know it's history.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So away we went.
Yeah.
And I ran that for about, probably about 18 months. But in the meantime, I decided to purchase a FH, version 1 FH 460 flat roof cab, had it all painted up, and employ a guy to drive it.
Yeah.
And after 9 months, I decided that I didn't like being an employer.
Fair enough.
So one of them had to go.
Yep.
The Scania was the easy one to sell, so that went. I kept the FH.
Right.
For some unknown reason, I didn't like the FH.
No.
So not long after that, I then bought a 4 Series top line.
Yeah.
Retrospectively, I think, should have kept the version 1, because the version 1 was a fantastic motor.
Yeah, you know, really have a soft spot for them version 1s.
Just me too.
Lovely trucks to drive. Yeah. I think they still look great. Just reliable, solid tools, aren't they?
Bulletproof.
Yeah.
I mean, I had that version 1 for exactly a year.
Yeah.
And that had a set of brake pads.
Yeah.
Oh, it did have a clutch.
Yeah.
Because it was a 460.
Yeah.
I think somebody had been driving it and pulling away in the second gear and stuff like that. And they don't like that.
No.
You know?
No, not the 3 over 3 box.
No. No, and that was a strong lorry.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, that really flew. Mm. So hindsight says I really should have kept that.
But
having said that, the Scania 4 Series top line, that was the first truck that I'd had painted to my spec, in the sense that I'd had every last bit color code that I want color coded.
Yep.
It was a nice paint job, and that kind of was going to be everything.
Yep.
And I stuck my heart and soul in that, had it for 7 years.
That was X-Carters, wasn't it? I remember rightly.
Yeah, X-Carters.
W Carter Haulage, for those who remember them.
Yeah, Big Jock had that.
Yeah. So it was only a 420, wasn't it?
Only a 420, which eventually I had it chipped up.
Yeah.
Supposedly to around 500 horse.
Did you have any problems with having it chipped?
No.
No? Because I was talking to Tim Freeman, who I'm sure you know, and his version 1, he got chipped in, that was quite some time ago. That was probably not far off 20 years ago. And when he had it done, a lot of people, that's no good, that will blow up, blah, blah, blah. Well, it's still going strong.
Well, that was the second truck that I had chipped.
Yeah.
And my only experience with chipping trucks is, if there is a weak spot, it will find it.
Right.
Because suddenly you're pushing everything to its limits.
Yeah.
And both my trucks had turbos on them.
Mm-hmm.
Because the turbos just said, no, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
you know, but once they got a new turbo, and that 420 chipped,
yeah,
that was flying.
Yeah,
that was flying. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was really good.
So what was the work you were doing? Was it still agricultural sort of base stuff?
I was at Bartram's. So no, when I first got the top line, I was on containers at Felixstowe.
Right. Before that, when you first became an owner driver, you stuck with the liquid waste?
I was liquid waste for the first 3 or 4 months.
Yep.
Then I went on to general haulage, which was a bit of steel, brick, block, that kind of thing. Ended up having a go at Felixstowe in between doing agricultural work as mm-hmm. well with some friends of mine, which was always well-paying and very rewarding.
Yeah.
But it just wasn't consistent enough. There was too many quiet spells.
Yeah, and the problem as well, because you're from Norfolk, it's quite a way down to Felixstowe to begin with.
Yes.
And there's not that many factories in Norfolk either, is there? Because it's mostly fields, because that's farmers' factories are fields. So stuff being made and whatnot, that's why we're very agricultural around this way. So to not be doing that sort of work, you tend to have to travel to start, don't you?
Well, that was always my issue. Location, for me, meant that I would never be a home man. You know, I'd always be up the road.
Yeah.
I ended up with Bartram's in 2006. Yeah, it was 2006, and I was with them for 7 years.
Yeah.
No longer than that. Brilliant company.
Yeah.
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 Really, my relationship then was second to none.
Yeah.
Through the good and the bad.
Yeah.
And there were some bumps along the way. Ended up that I could drop out every now and again. Mm-hmm. Mark Farrer, MDF, had asked me to go and do a pipeline job with him.
Yep.
And Bartram's released me for a 5-week period.
Yep.
Went and did the pipeline run, which was nice. That was interesting, something different.
Yeah.
The whole thing became not so much work. Mm-hmm. It was definitely a labour of love and definitely something I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
And over a course of time, different things come into play. You know, I did a bit with the East Coast Truckers Charity.
Yep.
You know, you spent some time with me there as well. And, and it was educational.
Yes.
Educational. There you go. It taught me a lot.
Yeah.
Glenn Johnson taught me a hell of a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you like, Glenn taught me to talk.
Yeah.
You know, Glenn taught me how to behave, how to talk, how to deal with people. I had so many lessons from him that maybe weren't exactly given as lessons,
mm-hmm.
but I learned the hard way.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, we fought as much as anybody else did.
Yeah.
You know, we'd have our fallouts.
Yeah.
And he'd sort of nudge me and say, well, you've learned something now, haven't you?
Yeah.
And you'd take it on board.
Definitely. Just for people who aren't aware, Glenn Johnson is the man who created the East Coast Truckers charity as it is now many, many years ago, just starting with a very small convoy, basically. Although there's more of a story to it. Glenn has actually written a book on his life story. It's an interesting read. I'm not quite sure how to get hold of it as such, but I'll try and find out if people are interested. But he is a very wise man, is Glenn. He's he's a good laugh.
He's shaped by life. That's probably the easiest way to put it.
Yeah.
He's shaped by life.
Yeah.
He's taught me a few things. And that's what life does, is that you learn a lot as you go along.
Yes.
But he taught me that you needed to, if you had something you really wanted to do, you had to go and do it.
Yeah.
And through him, I met a lot of good people. I've met yourself, Simon Wasp, you know, various other people.
Yeah.
And the people you spend time with shape what you do. And through being, should we go on to the Swede Fest thing?
If you want, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Why not?
That's part of the story.
Yeah, exactly.
So through East Coast Truckers, in 2008, we used to do the Norfolk Police Gala Day.
Yep.
And we were at the Norfolk Police Gala Day. And obviously I'd had my 4 Series top line for a couple of years by then and completely fascinated by the Scanias. Completely fascinated.
Yeah.
Obsessed, even. So whilst we were at this police gala day, I then realised that there was quite a large number of Scanias there.
Yeah.
And I sought permission to go and take over this piece of ground for half an hour and line all the Scanias up.
Yeah.
And not just line them up, but to try and get them in some kind of age order.
Right.
Which didn't really work straight away, but I got all these Scanias lined up, and there was 28.
Blimey.
Which was quite impressive.
Yeah.
Enough for some nose sat joint.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, put some nose sat joint. And to be fair, Glenn in his funny wisdom, decided that his Renault Magnum would come and drive over there whilst we were taking photos. And there's photos of me telling him to go away politely.
Yes.
As he's in his Magnum riding around. He's circling the fort, if you know what I mean. But yeah, so we stood there taking photos of this. And I said to Simon, I said, I'd love to do this as a show.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, why don't you?
Yeah.
And I said, well, I don't know, we'll see. So this is in 2008. And between 2008 and 2012, I'd become involved with Crowfield Truck Rally.
Mm-hmm.
So I was helping with the parking, various bits and pieces. And we would talk about this Scania truck show every now and again. It just wouldn't really get there.
Mm-hmm.
And by 2012, it was becoming apparent that maybe I'd done all I could do at East Coast Truckers, and that maybe it's time for me to move on.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'd just try something a little bit different.
Yeah.
So I decided to launch Gathering of the Griffin.
Yep.
At Orwell Crossing Truck Stop.
Much missed, as it is.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, what a place.
Yep.
Anne and Carl, they did so much for us.
Yep.
As drivers, as show people, they did everything.
Yep.
I mean, what a couple of people. And Carl, bless him, obviously no longer with us.
Yeah.
And we stayed in touch with Anne because she was fantastic.
Yeah.
And yeah, they really did look after us. But we decided to set it off there, and the first show only netted 37 trucks.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It was what, 2012, did you say?
2012, yeah. That was June 2012 as well. Yeah. So it's middle of the summer, if you like.
Yeah.
And yeah, not the biggest turnout that I could have hoped for,
mm-hmm.
but it was enough.
Yeah.
It was enough to just to get the feel of it and get to learn what we were going to do.
Yeah.
But the one thing that I did do right at that point was I lined them up in age order.
Yeah.
That was it then. I was never, ever going to change from that.
Yeah.
And that has been the biggest pain in the bum you've ever known. The whole age thing has just been a nightmare.
Yeah.
But I am resolute. That's not changing.
Yeah.
That's how it is. But that's what we do.
And it works.
It does
work. As much as hard work as it is.
Yeah.
It's not a random order, is it? It just does work.
Where else can you go in the world
mm-hmm.
and start walking down a line of trucks? And now, obviously, later on, we end up with the Volvos as well, but... And I don't mean that detrimentally, because they bring a lot to the party, I'm going to show you.
Yeah.
But where else in the world can you walk down a line of trucks and you start with the earliest one
yep.
and watch them grow in progression, not just in size, but in tech and build and
mm-hmm.
so many different things, and just see so many different variations.
Yeah.
And that's a wonderful thing. You cannot do that anywhere.
No.
You know, definitely we are not the only place in the world you can do that.
Yeah.
Obviously, as we said about Orwell Crossing, I mean, we lost Orwell Crossing in 2016 because it was being sold.
Yeah.
I mean, we'd basically outgrown it anyway, because the first show was 37. The second show was 100 and... I think it was about 115.
All Scania?
All Scania.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So where are we? 2012, 2013, 2014.
Yeah.
2014, we ended up with... Again, still at Orwell, probably about 123 Scanias and one Mercedes-Benz.
One Mercedes-Benz, eh?
One Mercedes-Benz.
So how come there was a Mercedes at a Scania?
Well, so this is where it really got quite funny. And I don't often tell this story, but it was funny at the time, and I still look at it in amusement, and I don't think the men at Scania thought that was terribly funny. So Scania GB had come along to join us.
Right.
I can't tell you, there was some kind of anniversary for them, but they came along to join us, and they came to the party, and do you know what? They were brilliant.
Yeah, I think, was it 75th? Because I think I've got an umbrella still in my van from the event.
Yeah?
Yeah.
They were fantastic.
Yeah.
What great guys. They came to the party.
And to support everybody. A small local show.
Yes.
Or small local, in air quotes, of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not a truck fest or anything like that,
no,
is it?
No, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, for them to throw support behind it is brilliant.
They were brilliant.
Yeah.
They really were very good. And they were walking around doing video interviews with people. And so eventually they caught up with me.
Yeah.
And these two guys, and, Rob, there you are. Let's have a chat. So we're having a chat. And we're chatting away about the trucks and the people and how great the layout is. And he says to me, He said, I can't see the truck with your name on it. And I said, oh, well, so you do what see that? Well, why not? I said, because you don't. And he said, well, I think we should have a look at that. I said, no, trust me, you really don't want to see it. And he said, why? I said, it's got the wrong badge on it. I said, it's got a 3-point star on the front. And he looks at me, he says, what? And I said, yeah, I've defected. I said, I've moved over to the dark side. There was a bit more to it than that, but yeah. Obviously I'd made the move for financial and business reasons. I decided that the Mercedes was the way forward for me.
Well, at the time, they were king on fuel, weren't they?
They were.
By a long way, the Actros.
Yeah, I'd had it. So basically, in 2012, in 13, I changed from a 4 Series to a 2010 R Series that, I'm afraid, so it was a problem child.
Right. Friday afternoon.
Yeah, that was a pain in the bum.
Yeah.
It was constantly in the workshop. It was constantly costing me money. And out of frustration, I turned around in the Scania dealership and said, right, that's it. I'm going to go and speak to the men at Mercedes. And they all laughed. Don't laugh at me when I'm saying I'm going to do something, because I will go and do it. And I went to Mercedes and said to them, look, I need an option here.
Yeah.
And they put me in a demo. And I just said to the salesman, who's a really good friend of mine now, Tony, I just said to him, I said, look, you need to understand something. I'm going to hate this. I'm going to find fault with it. I'm going to say, this is wrong, that's wrong. I said, I'm going to hate every last second of it. I said, but I promise you, I will drive it sensibly and I'll give it a fair chance.
Yeah.
Monday, horrible. Tuesday, horrible. Wednesday, he says, it feels good. And I'm thinking, okay. Thursday, he said, what are you doing in that truck? He said, the fuel's really climbing. And I'm thinking, well, I'm kind of getting used to it.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I'm telling myself I don't like it. It's horrible. Nasty thing. By Friday, he says, you're enjoying that, aren't you? I said, no. You know, I'm absolutely resolute. No, and I'm nodding my head. And I just said to him, I said, look, get me a price.
Yeah.
It's got to be the right spec. It's got to be right. And I beat him up something chronic.
Yeah.
And we came up with the right spec.
Did you consider any other, like Volvo, for argument's sake, with your price?
Volvo, they were then bringing out the version 4.
Yeah.
I wasn't a fan.
No?
No. As with so many trucks, when they first come out, there's a lot you look at and think, oh, don't like
yeah.
that.
I was the same with it when that Actros came out. You looked at it and it just looked like a Transformer compared with the outgoing Actros.
Yeah. You see, I liked it.
Yeah.
But the version 4 for me is just like, what did you do?
Yeah.
Love it now.
Yeah.
But at the time, I think, wow.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so the Volvo, Renault had the T-Range then coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah. When looked at the first T-Range to land in Norfolk.
Yeah.
That happened to come in on the Friday night, and I was there first thing, early door Saturday morning. Me and my brother went to have a look.
Yeah.
Quite liked it, if I'm truthful, at the time, because it was a hell of a step from premium.
Yes.
But never, ever did get very far with Transfire price.
Right. Fair enough.
But I think that was really, really new at the time.
Yeah.
It could have been too far away. MAN, certainly not. I'd had enough experience with MAN to think, no, that's not for me.
Fair enough.
The Merc was a good contender.
Yeah.
And fair play to Scania, especially James Crouch. He came back to me and said, come on, look, let's have a sit down and talk about this.
Yeah.
Let's find out what we can put you in.
Yeah.
And everything that they came up with, I had an answer for, in the sense that what I was getting the Merc for, they couldn't compete.
Yeah.
Well, they never were going to compete.
No.
Because the price values were different.
Yeah. And they still are, aren't they, to this day?
Yes, they are. But they have their place.
Yeah.
In the market of being that hierarchy, if you like, that next step up.
Your residual values are higher and so on and so forth. Yeah.
So anyway, that was how that went with Griffin Gathering, should we say.
Yes.
When the site was sold in 2016, we'd always had this thing about we needed somewhere bigger, but we didn't want to rover kill it.
Yeah.
Stone and Barnes was always on the agenda. Michelle had been there before. I should mention Michelle, my co-organiser, as you well know, she's very much the backbone of what we do.
Yeah, she's the silent...
Yeah.
Worker in the background, isn't
well,
she?
Well, she's silent until you misbehave. And I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about you or anybody else. You misbehave and she's coming for you.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah. That's not me, you've got to worry. I just look.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
especially when you know that you're not wrong.
Yeah.
Someone else is.
Yes, right.
Going to get the wrath of Michelle.
Yeah. It's quite funny, really. You stand back and you pull his little string. So anyway, sorry, Michelle. So in 2016, we moved to Stone and Barnes, and the problem with Stone and Barnes was it was going to be a lot more money.
Yeah.
It was a lot more finance involved.
Yeah.
And we had to do something that year because we were like 9 weeks before the show,
yeah,
and we needed to find somewhere.
Yeah.
So come hell or high water, we had to make it work for that year. And I'd always had this in my head that after the first Griffin gathering, with only being 37, if I could never, ever get enough trucks, I would diversify and I'd make it a Swede fest.
Right.
So I'd bring the Volvos in against the Scanias,
yep,
and we'd have the ultimate grudge match.
Yeah.
Tongue in cheek, obviously.
Yes.
And suddenly we got all this space and we needed more revenue.
Yeah.
And I just said to Michelle, well, we've got to do it.
Yeah.
It's going to be a rush.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we completely changed what we were doing,
yeah,
from Griffin gathering to Swedefest in 9 weeks.
That's a lot of undertaking.
You've got no idea. I mean, Michelle and I spoke two or three times a day, all the time, and just on it completely. But we got there,
yeah,
and it was a lot of work. The first Swedefest didn't really work how I wanted it to work.
Yeah.
But it was there, and they were in chronological order.
Yeah, the concept was there.
The concept was,
yeah,
there. I just needed to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
So the second year at Stone and Barnes, really, it was like an explosion.
Yeah.
You know.
How many Volvos were at the first Swedefest compared with the Scanias? Can you remember?
I think, off the top of my head, there was about 72...
compared with well over 100 Scanias.
Yeah, 100, yeah, and 120, I suppose.
Mainly because obviously it's always been Scania.
Yeah.
And the last minute we're adding Volvo in. You're, yeah, obviously not going to have anywhere near as many, but there's, no, still an impressive turnout,
yeah,
of Volvos.
I mean, for some reason, historically, there's never been a match.
Mm-hmm.
There's always been more Scanias than there's been Volvos.
Right.
Why, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's more guys in Scanias that like to do the shows and what there is Volvos, I don't know.
Yeah.
But Volvo certainly do bring something to the party. They really do bolster it up. And I think there's that nice cross section where you've got the 3 Series V8s,
mm-hmm,
against the F-16s.
Yeah.
Or in the F-16s.
Yeah.
I mean, what a I don't need to explain that to you.
What a machine. They are just...
But the Volvos, early Volvos, are just fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, right the way through the version ones.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as we both said, the version one is a fantastic,
yeah,
machine.
Yeah.
You know.
Because, I mean, I've always kind of been a Volvo over Scania man, always have. Growing up through school, yes, I've always preferred the F-Series to the 3 Series.
I've kind of fallen that way now.
Yeah.
You know, I was always very Scania.
Yeah.
And now we're quite Volvo.
Yeah. Did Volvo themselves get behind it from the start as well? Or did they take a little while to get on board?
No, they weren't long.
No?
They weren't long.
Yeah.
Mind you,
the first year's,
yeah,
it's a tough call for them to come, yeah, on board straight away, I guess,
yeah,
isn't it?
So. I think second year they were straight on board.
Yeah.
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 And they are, the Volvo men are very, very strong,
yeah,
behind this.
Yeah.
You know, they are very much after to join the party. I mean, we've had some from Holland and, you know, Volvo men from Holland.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely fantastic. They really do. So what, if you like, where there's not as many Volvo trucks attending, Volvo themselves bring that to the party.
Yeah.
You know, Scania are there, don't get me wrong. They're very much a part of it.
Yeah.
But the Volvo men are full on, full ball.
Yeah.
You know, there's it's like a different mindset, if you wish,
mm-hmm,
a different personality. There you go.
Yeah,
Scania's got their personality.
Yeah,
Volvo got theirs.
Yeah,
you know, Scania are a bit more laid back, and dare I say, don't have to try quite so hard.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Volvo are like full on, we're having a party.
Yeah,
you know, which is brilliant.
Yeah,
so it's nice to see them face to face, if you like.
Yeah,
and it's friendly rivalry across the whole field.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm,
it really is.
Has there been many issues with people being told they can't park where they, like next to their mates because they're
naturally. It happens all the time. Someone will turn up and say, my favourite one is someone will turn up and now because Ali, who sort of runs the gate, she has the list,
mm-hmm,
the list and how it's marked out, mapped out, and everything else. and someone will turn up and they'll say to her, "Oh, Rob said I could part with my mate." And she'll turn around and say, "I bet he didn't." Because she knows that if that's on her list, that's how it is.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if someone turns up and said, "Oh, he said no." That doesn't work.
Yeah.
The list is the list. That's the end of it.
Yeah, and that's that.
Because the other thing that happens with Swedefest is I spend a whole week, and I mean literally a whole week, of marking out every single truck parking spot to ensure that every truck has its own designated space,
mm-hmm.
it has the appropriate amount of room,
mm-hmm.
and that they are displayed properly.
Yeah.
Because the other thing that I want to do so differently from Truck Fest, if you wish, just to use one, is it's a truck show. They need to be displayed.
Yeah.
They must be displayed. If they're not displayed, if you haven't made some kind of feature out of it,
it's not a show.
It's not a show.
No.
Anyone can turn up and chuck a load of trucks on a field.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
The odd van, tent, caravan. Where do you stop?
Yeah.
This is a show. A show in the proper sense of the word.
Yeah. They are parked up to the centimetre, aren't they?
As much as they can be, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Every space is designated. Every space is measured out. There are white lines, not always straight, I'll grant you, because we're getting tired at some point. But every spot is marked out.
Yeah.
And every truck can park safely, knowing that they've got their own space,
mm-hmm.
knowing that no other cab door can bump into them.
Yep.
And knowing that if someone with a camera, novice or professional, wants to stand and take a photo of that truck, they can capture that truck.
Individually.
Individually.
Yes.
Which is a big thing. But the other thing they do is stand at the end of the line, stand at a certain angle, and get all the fronts.
Yeah.
All the backs. They can do all those things.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no tents, no gazebos. It sounds a bit harsh saying we can't have these.
But
it's for the right reasons.
Yes.
You're listening to the Truck and Driver podcast brought to you by TomTom. The TomTom Go navigation offers a specific set of truck features. You can set your cargo and truck dimensions for specific routes so you can drive confidently on suitable roads, making every journey efficient and reliable. Truck yeah.
Obviously, you came along last year, didn't you?
Yeah, I've been pretty much every year I can go, so.
Yeah, so. Last year, we ended up with a big void on the front of the Volvos behind the ring.
Yep.
Yeah. And we put Bert and his trailer.
Yeah.
Right the way down the middle.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Nice in front of the Scanners, actually, now I think about it. Absolutely fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
What a centre place for that F1.
Version 1. Yeah.
And that flower trailer, which is absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
It's a stunning thing to look at. And he got pride in
it. He'd only just finished it, hadn't he, if I remember rightly? Yeah.
And it's not always planned that way, but sometimes I'll end up with a gap and I'll think, what can I do there?
Yeah.
And I'll find something to put in there. Yeah. You know, we displayed Matt Wilkes, Mark Farrow, Michael Lacey, but we displayed them in a void as well.
Yeah.
But set them out like they were parked in a truck park.
Yeah.
With their trailers on.
Yes.
Again, something else.
Yeah.
And because the other thing that's got to be right is the fact we now have a drone, we have angling aerial photography with us.
Yeah.
And he puts the drone up several times in the day.
Yeah.
And we have the overheads. And that's got to look right from the sky.
Definitely.
Because it makes for such an impressive video.
Yeah.
I mean, those videos mean everything.
Yeah.
Not just to show what we've done. They're massively brilliant for research purposes.
Yeah.
Because if I can't remember what I did one year to the next, I can have a look.
You've got a historical record.
Yes, it's everything.
And it works for an advertising tool as well for people who haven't been.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
Because I still speak to quite a few people and, I keep meaning to go down there and I keep saying, you know, you really should. And just when you look at them photos, it just does make it look so professional, how it's all laid out and everything like that.
Yeah, not bad for a guy that started out driving tractors and... Never really intended.
And a Leyland constructor.
Yeah, never really intended on driving a lorry.
Yeah.
That was the funny thing.
So with Swedefest at Stonham, obviously the Gavin and Griffin there happened to be one Mercedes, which I'll mention.
Yeah.
At Swedefest, has there been any non-Swedish trucks make any sort of appearance?
Well, the ERF is nearly always there.
Yeah.
Because it brings the trailer and all the bits and pieces to do with the show.
Yeah.
That's a given.
Yes.
We've had a couple of DAFs that came in pulling CDC trailers.
Yep.
And we had a certain Dutchman come in with his DAF on the very first year when he was working for Anthony Binns.
Yep.
And we decided we were going to do a truck pull with it. So it was quite funny to see all these Swedish guys, all the Swedish drivers.
Yeah.
Having to pull this DAF down the lane. I mean, he thought that was brilliant because he got track ball going on.
Yeah.
And for me, it was all quite ironic that there's all these blokes driving Swedes that have got to pull this DAF along, you know. I saw the funny side of that straight away. But yeah, he got a trophy for best DAF.
Best DAF at Swedefest.
Yeah.
Presumably, that's never going to be beaten, is it?
Either, no, he still holds that title, yes. Yes, he still does hold that title. But yeah. So he was always a big Scania man. So he wanted to be there as well.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, but yeah.
Good old Dirk.
Yeah.
I don't know if he listens to these or not.
He's the gift that keeps on giving.
Yes.
Yeah.
Never a dull moment with him.
And he's been a few times since.
Yeah.
You know, but just walking passenger if you like.
Yeah.
But as far as the Dutch are concerned, I mean, we've had several Dutchmen come and go, and we've had some that are long-termers, you know, and they bring something there every time.
Yeah.
You know, fantastic company.
And there's even been Dutch trucks come over that have never been shown in the UK before as well.
Last year, we had several Dutch trucks come over that had never been on UK soil as far as they knew.
Yeah.
For them to be shown was unbelievable. That's, and we've got...
A hell of a feat, isn't it?
Yeah, and we've got some returns this year as well.
Yeah.
You know.
Excellent.
Bearing in mind that someone got sleep and accommodation or anything.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But they come over and they put you up a tent or whatever and they're happy.
Yeah.
You know, they're just happy to be there.
Yeah.
And I do everything I can to encourage that and accommodate them. I mean, last year, Henk and one of the other guys, they had to leave on the Sunday morning.
Yeah.
So there I am at 5:30 on Sunday morning. Bearing in mind, I probably didn't go to bed till much before 2.
Mm-hmm.
I might be at 5:30 Sunday morning, marching out of the ground, you know, making sure they're on their way and bombed by arse, you know.
Yeah.
So whatever they need,
mm-hmm.
whatever I can do, I will do.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a labour of love for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there any particular truck or certainly an individual one that you'd like to see there? Something you've seen at shows or on the road or something you think, I'd love to have that at my show?
Oh, that's a big one. I don't know if I could actually pick one out that would be the one I'd want to see.
Well, maybe a model. That's the other word I was looking for. Because last year we had a Volvo. What was that? Petrol Volvo.
Yeah, the V8 petrol Volvo for Paul Ross.
Yeah. And I've never seen one of them before.
No.
So that's certainly an unusual one.
No, and that should be making a return this year.
I'd like to see an F4. A Volvo F4, the little 7.5-tonne they did.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. We have had one.
Have you?
Yes, we have. Yes, I'm pretty sure we have.
Yeah?
A few years ago now.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So that's certainly a rare little truck.
Yeah. I will have to ask the question.
Yeah.
Barry Brand will about answer that question because, I'll have to ask him.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we have had one there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there can't be many models of either manufacturer that haven't attended then?
No, not a great deal. There's been some memorable ones.
Yeah.
I can tell you that there's one truck that came, there's been a couple of times actually, and I've got such a major soft spot for that truck.
Yeah.
And that is Keith Story's F-16.
Yeah.
Now, so one year he'd got a wedding or something to go to, and he rings me up and says, can I drop the truck off early?
Yeah.
And leave it with you, and I'll go and do my wedding or whatever, and then I'll come back on the Saturday or Sunday and do whatever. I said, yeah, fine. And he gives me the keys. And he says, hey, you'll be all right with that, aren't you? And I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
I've got the keys to this F-16.
And it's a stunning build as well, isn't it, what Keith's done.
So beautiful.
Yeah.
In every single way. And people keep saying to me, are you going to put that in a slot? And I'm saying, No.
Not just yet.
No, I can stay where it is for now. And Keith showed up and I gave him the keys and somebody said to me, you lost your bottle, didn't you? And I said, what? You had every opportunity to drive that truck across that field and park it up and you lost your bottle.
Yeah.
And I said, but some things you just don't touch. Because that truck is just everything to me. I worship that truck for no other reason than it just is what it is. Yeah. It's just a lovely, lovely thing.
Yeah, yeah. Sister to Richard Warren's truck, because Keith's is K7, I believe. Richard's is H7, both obviously formerly owned by Peter Roth.
Yeah. Beautiful trucks.
Just out this world, isn't it? Yeah.
So, you know, I'm very lucky that I've got a massive amount of friends, especially through Sweetfest, but also people that have become very close.
Yeah.
The Murdochs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they are fantastic. And I've driven so much thanks to them.
Yeah.
You know. I'm surrounded with some brilliant people.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a brilliant experience.
Mm-hmm.
And if it all finished tomorrow, as much as I'd be sad, I would have plenty to say about it.
Yeah, you've achieved what you want and more, I would say.
Yeah. And so, of course, just what a part of my career, if you like.
Yeah. Do you get time to enjoy it? Because you're going to be so busy over that weekend.
Mate, honestly. So I always had this thing where East Coast Truckers was the same, because I ended up running the convoy. And I remember finishing a convoy and somebody saying to me, "Did you enjoy that?" And I'd be like, "No, I hated it." And they said, "Well, you couldn't have hated it." And I said, "Well, I did. I hated every minute of it."
Mm.
And it's not the hate for the convoy, it's the pressure.
Yep.
The absolute pressure.
The buck stops with you, doesn't it?
Yeah. Absolute pressure of everything. And Swedefest is a bit like that. But what people probably don't realise is the release for me is standing at the gate as they leave.
Yeah.
Because the whole weekend is go, go, go. I've had 5 days of setup. And don't get me wrong when I say this about the team, because they are fantastic. That team is unbelievable. I will say more about that in a second. But I have the team to look after. I have the team to organise. I have everything to get sorted. Michelle just plays her part fantastically. And we have to go through the whole weekend, ducking and diving, making sure this is right, that's right, doing as much as we can.
Troubleshooting.
Yeah.
And whatnot, yeah.
By Sunday afternoon when we do the awards ceremony, I'm always just about falling to pieces.
Yeah.
The awards ceremony is the toughest gig ever.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know if I'm doing it right. I still don't see that as the bit I've mastered. But what I have mastered is saying goodbye to everybody.
Yeah.
I stand at that gate and I say goodbye to everybody individually.
Yeah.
That to me is everything.
Yeah.
That's my personal moment with them.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can really hear what we're saying.
Mm-hmm.
It's between me and them.
It's not for them to hear, is it?
No. But that's very personal.
Yeah.
And at that point, that's my reward.
Yeah. Makes it all worthwhile.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's massively personal. Not everybody would understand that, but to me, it's everything.
Yeah.
And that's what makes everything worthwhile. That's my reward.
Yeah.
You know, it's not about money.
Yeah.
Never has been, never will be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the worst financial person you ever met, because
mm-hmm.
I'm not interested.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in money. I get the money in to make sure that the show can run.
Yeah.
To make sure that we have everything we need. To make sure that the team are looked after. You know, the team get fed. They get their accommodation. They don't get paid.
No.
You know, they're all volunteers, and they are all unbelievably brilliant at what they do.
Yeah.
And everybody is told, if you've got a problem, you need to make a decision, make that decision.
Yeah.
Go with it. If that's the wrong decision,
yeah,
we'll worry about it later.
Yeah.
We won't worry about that. We'll talk about it now, we won't argue about it now. We will talk about it later.
Yeah.
And I remember this year we sat down with the team for the first time, and we'd had a few rough spots on the previous show. And I remember saying to everybody, "God, we nearly decided not to run this year because of this and because of that." And it suddenly became apparent to me that all these people sat there in the team, and they're all completely bemused.
Yeah.
Because none of them knew there'd been any problems.
Yeah.
And I just said to them, "But that's how it works."
Mm-hmm.
We don't discuss what's happening at the time. We don't make a drama out of it.
Yeah.
We just deal with it, soak it up, get on with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because these people are here, and they're our guests. We treat them like guests. We behave like they're our guests. And when they're gone, we'll deal with it. And when you've locked that much stuff inside, it's very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Very difficult. And last year was exceptionally trying, and it was outside forces, if you wish.
Yeah.
But it was very difficult.
Yeah.
I probably said a bit more than I really wanted to, but I have to get the point across.
Yeah.
That guests are guests, and that's the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and each one of those team members knows that.
Yeah.
And they all behave accordingly.
Yeah.
They are the best team people I ever expect to have around me.
Yeah.
I have ultimate respect for each and every one of them, for what they do,
mm-hmm.
for the decisions they make, and just for their loyalty, not just for me, but for the whole Swedefest thing.
Yeah.
Nothing is ever straightforward or easy.
No.
But if it was easy, everyone would be doing it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Is there anything you would change about Swedefest, do you think? As such.
Anything I'd change? No, I don't necessarily think so. Location, no. Certainly not.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody says, well, that could be bigger. Yeah, I think that's big enough.
But bigger doesn't mean better necessarily, no. Does it? That's the thing.
No.
All we've got to do is look in the world of haulage we're in at some of the big companies, yes, and the grief, right, that people get from them.
Yeah.
Because it's not the personal service.
I think you need, with anything, you need to concentrate on what makes it tick and concentrate on making what you have,
mm-hmm.
as good as it can be.
Yeah.
You know, and everyone will say, cool, you could have a bigger show, you could have double the amount of trucks.
It'd be double the amount of work you've got to do,
double
for
the
starters.
Amount of
work,
double the amount of stress.
Yeah.
Yes, it'd be double the amount of money.
But if you're not interested in money, what's the point?
There is no point.
Yeah.
There is no point. Absolutely no point whatsoever. I don't want it to be any bigger.
And if it's watered down, it wouldn't be as enjoyable.
No. And it's got to be personal. So, and if there was 800 trucks.
Yeah.
I'd be there for 3 hours on the gate saying goodbye to them.
Yeah.
I can't do that.
So is there a limit on truck numbers? Is there a sort of...
I set the limit this year at 370.
Right. And is it sold out?
God, yeah.
Yeah.
Sold out in six days. That was the year before. Sold out in something like 36 hours.
Blimey.
Yeah.
And when was it launched?
No, it was launched last week in April. It was launched on the Friday and we closed it on the Monday.
So within 48 hours,
yeah,
it was sold out.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
And we had a waiting
really.
List. We got a waiting list.
Yeah.
Waiting list's 48 at the minute. We always get drops.
Yeah.
You always get people.
It's inevitable.
Well, people move, jobs and...
Something happens, things break.
Yeah, absolutely.
Companies close, sadly.
Yeah.
All sorts.
Yeah, there's been a lot of that, hasn't
there? Yeah, there has.
Yeah. That makes things very difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it makes things very difficult in the sense of... So, obviously, as we know, I am now an ex-haulier.
Yes.
You know.
You packed up in...
2019.
So, nearly 20 years as an owner driver.
Yeah.
Not bad going, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the only thing I miss is the truck.
Yeah.
I don't miss much of anything else.
No.
What I love is being at home.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Being that amount of time up the road.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd have enough.
Yeah.
And
it's just been getting harder and harder, and I've got so much appreciation for people who are still doing it, small haulers, yeah. Owner drivers, because it's just, it's really not easy out there, is it?
I was lucky. The last 7 years I spent on basically working for Carlsberg through Bartrams.
Yeah.
So it was subbed. Once or twice, if you like,
yeah.
Then to me. And I had that relationship with the guys at Carlsberg, and they were brilliant.
Yeah.
And I had 7 years solid with them.
Yeah.
Doing the same job day in, day out.
Yeah.
And as much as everybody says, well, how can you do the same thing day in, day out? Trust me, it was so much better.
Mm-hmm.
It was so much better from my point of view, because I had people I could deal with every day.
Yeah.
You built up the rapport.
Yeah.
And because I needed that load going out in the mornings as well, I built up rapport with other people as well.
Yeah.
You know, people that are still very good friends now.
Yeah.
Very, very lucky.
Yeah.
I know that. And you have to have that amount of luck in any part of life.
Yeah.
But I was very, very lucky. Yeah. So stepping away from that, I stepped away because I got offered an opportunity.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I probably never would have gone.
Mm-hmm.
It was the opportunity that took me out of the pot, if you like.
Yeah.
And although the opportunity kind of fell on its backside because of COVID,
yeah,
etc., it was a good experience.
Yeah.
massively brilliant experience, if you want the truth. Yeah, I will take that with me forever.
Yeah.
And I ended up going to another different job after that, and I now ended up with where I am now, where I've been for almost 3 years doing plant movements.
Yeah, just all local around Norfolk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah.
I love it because every day is different.
Yeah.
And I don't just do the plant movements. I end up on the spanners. I end up getting absolutely filthy some days.
Mm-hmm.
And just trying to help make the wheels go round. Mm. That's my whole thing in life of, what do? I make the wheels go round.
Yeah.
If I can't make the wheels go round, I might know someone who does.
Yes, but you also don't have the financial burden over your head of the company, do you?
No.
Which must take a lot of the stress out of it.
It does, yeah. And I do think that having that experience of having my own, I would like to say I had my own train set.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had my own train set, yeah. So I know the complications involved.
Yeah.
And it gives you that appreciation, and you do understand a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And to a point, it makes you a little bit less tolerant of certain things.
Yeah.
You know, you'll hear someone speak and you'll go, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure you understand what I mean.
I do, yeah.
But you've become quite intolerant of certain things. So that's quite interesting.
Yeah. And yeah. I guess as well with this work, it frees you up a bit more for the planning of Swedefest and whatnot, because you haven't got to think about running a truck and all that as well. It gives you a bit more.
It doesn't, because when I had my own, obviously I was tramping about doing 3.5-4 hours driving each way.
Yeah.
Well, I had all that time I could spend on the phone.
Yeah.
True. Yeah. Now,
yeah,
I might do an hour's driving if I'm lucky and I'm out of the cab.
Yeah.
I haven't got time for that anymore. Yeah. And the other thing is, as you pointed out, I spend a lot of time in Norfolk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lack of phone signal.
Well, apparently we're getting light switches next week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
But you can't wait, can you?
No, we had electricity 18 months, but no switches.
Yeah. And that's why you had Swedefest in Suffolk, because we've already got all these modern cons, haven't we?
But again, you see, with Suffolk, you've got the A14 corridor, haven't you?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
It's easy to get to.
Yeah.
Very easy.
Yeah. And that was the other thing for being an owner driver, you see, with working for Bartram's.
Yeah.
Because we were that much closer to the corridor.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah.
You know. Really did work.
Yeah.
But yeah, Norfolk's a bit dark.
Rustic.
Rustic. Rustic. Yes. Yeah, yes. Yeah, 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 yeah.
It's a lovely part of the world.
I wouldn't want to live anywhere else.
Yeah.
You know.
It's just hard to get about, isn't it?
Yeah.
At the moment.
Yeah. I remember people would say to me, where do you live? And you'd tell them, you go, whatever, do you want to live there for? And I'd say, because no other sod wants to. It's lovely. And then you get people in the local town saying, God, then this place boring.
Yeah.
And I'd say to them, trust me, boring is nice.
Yeah.
You go some of the places I've been, mate, you don't want to go there.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. You know, but yeah, funny game.
Oh, yes. So for anyone planning a visit to Swedefest this year, what are the dates of it?
It is... See, this week you get nervous because you think you get this wrong.
You might have a lot.
28th, 29th of September.
Right.
And the postcode is IP14680.
Yep.
Which I know better than my own postcode. I know every blade of grass there better than my own postcode.
It's at Stonham Barnes, yes. Which is just off the A1120, just off the A140. Not that far from Ipswich and Stowmarket.
No.
Should you have not visited before. And there's also, the place has got stuff for the non-truck enthusiasts as well, hasn't it? So
yeah, it has, yeah. There's a little shop and village, if you like.
Birds of Prey.
Yeah, Birds of Prey. There's different activities like crazy golf, and there's bits of fun fair. There's craft shops. There's everything, really. There's,
yeah.
You could have a reasonable day there, especially on a Sunday, because they have a car boot as well.
Yeah, which is true.
Good for a lot of people.
Is the show actually open on the Saturday as well?
Yes, it is. Well, I mean, we don't really operate so much of a closed gate policy. You will have people wandering in there on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So how we actually run the show is, again, my fault for not being big on money, if you wish, and I probably my biggest critic comes from this, but if you turned up Friday afternoon, I could sell you a wristband for £7.50.
Yeah.
That wristband is yours for the weekend.
Yeah.
You come and go as you please.
Yeah.
Where can you go for £7.50 for a weekend's entertainment?
Not many places.
No. So, for £7.50 and a 16th free, you walk in with your wristband. You can come on a Friday, you can see the trucks arriving. You can come on the Saturday, see more trucks arriving. Be there Saturday evening for the light show, which is always fantastic.
Yeah.
And then you've got all day Sunday.
Yeah.
So come and go as you please for £7.50. I don't think you'll do that anywhere else.
No.
And
no,
I get criticised for that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Not about the money.
It will help bring people in, especially in this day and age where people are thinking about costs more and more.
So. Well, we're all failing that.
Yeah, we've certainly
are. I don't care who you are or how much money you've got. You're all going to fail it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
It's a difficult time for a lot of people right now.
It is. And for the show to sell out that quickly as well is just a marker of how popular it is as well with the financial world that we're in at the moment.
Well, especially when you consider how far people are travelling.
Yes.
You know.
If you're coming from Holland for a show for a weekend, that's a major financial commitment. And the Murdoch boys from Scotland, it's not cheap to run a truck from, as you well know, from Scotland down to Suffolk. Especially multiple ones.
Yes. Yeah, because they end up bringing 6 to 9 trucks.
Yeah.
You know, that's a lot of undertaking.
That is.
And manpower.
Yeah.
Because that's a day's drive before they've done anything.
Yeah. And a day's drive home at the end of it all.
So that's Friday rent off.
Yeah.
That's Monday rent off.
Yeah.
Plus the fuel.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
It is a lot. Massive commitment from them as much as me, really.
Yeah.
You know.
So if you're thinking about coming as a punter and your excuse is, well, it's a bit far to come, then that doesn't wash.
I'm trying to think. There was some guys a few years ago now, there were some guys based in Merseyside, and they were asked if they'd like to attend Swedefest.
Mm-hmm.
And no, not going there. He said, that's too far. And I remember this guy spinning around, and he said to him, you pillock. He said, what? He said, well, you're going to Assen next week. He said, you're worried about going to Ipswich. Subsequently, I never asked them if they want to come anymore, because I just thought, obviously, your map doesn't run that far, and, you know, nor does your imagination.
No.
You know? But yeah, he thought Assen was okay, but Ipswich was too far, which I found highly amusing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but we're only a 2-bit show, right?
True,
so,
very
you know,
true. Yeah.
You know, very low rent.
Yeah, it's not truck fest, is it?
No, it's not.
Far too regimented.
Yeah, far too. And you can't park where you're mates.
No, exactly. They might be in the same field, but they're all the way over there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's at least 300 yards.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The fact that you'll be in the Volvo or the Scania accommodation at the end of the night all together anyway is irrelevant.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's all good fun. I mean, it's like any party, I suppose, it can bring out the best or the worst in people, can't it? You know, I do love the photos that I get from this. You know, not always my own personal photos, I admit, but I will put together a group of photos, and there's two guys sitting on pedal tractors in the bar last year. Brilliant. Because, you know, the Haribo advert.
Yeah,
you can see them two talk to each other in them voices. They're not, but you can just imagine that's the moment, you know. And stuff like that is just funny.
Yeah.
You know.
So just before we wrap up, one final question. Is there any one particular moment that stands out more than any in your Swedefest career as such?
Oh, crikey.
Obviously, apart from being able to drive Keith's F-16, which he didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. See, now that's...
There's too many?
There is too many. I can't pinpoint an exact moment, but I can tell you what is a big moment.
Yeah.
A big moment for me, when Steve is there with the drone on the Saturday evening.
Yeah.
And we've just started to lose the light. It's not dark, but we're just starting to lose the light. And he sticks the drone up. Yeah. Sticks the drone up in the air.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at his drone screen.
Yeah.
And I see that showground for the first time from above.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That is everything. Because at that point in time,
you know it's done.
I can see that I've done what I had to do.
Yeah.
I've done my job right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's actually a big moment. So that... There's so many good things about Swedefest. It's, I guess in life, if you want to be remembered for something, that's what I don't want to be remembered for.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that I got something off the ground and had such a great amount of people around me.
And what it's turned into.
Yeah.
As well.
And the team have got that exact passion. And
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, did I mention the team?
You did, thankfully. And you mentioned Michelle.
Yes, I did, yes,
yeah. Good.
Yeah. Yeah, she's Mummy Sweetfest, really.
She is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, she's the boss, really, isn't she? Let's be honest.
Well, see, a lot of people don't actually realise that we aren't in a relationship. We never have been. A lot of people can assume that we're husband and wife.
Yeah.
We're not.
No.
No.
Not at all.
No, never. There's no relationship between us apart from being friends.
Yeah.
Michelle has been my absolute rock at times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, Donna is everything to me, obviously. She's my wife and she's... supports me through absolutely everything I do, whether she likes it or not.
Yeah.
In the sense that if she doesn't agree with it, she'll still support me.
Yeah.
Michelle's the sensible one.
Yes.
But also sometimes a little bit too passionate about it because she's easily moulded. If I want to do something, the quickest way I upset Michelle is I've been thinking. If I tell her I've been thinking, she goes instant.
You're not allowed to think.
No. If I've been thinking, that's usually lastminute.com.
Yes.
So, yeah, too many things to outline.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the people are everything.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we finish up, really, is the fact that Suede Fest, East Coast Truckers, the team, my family, the kids, grandchildren, the whole lot. It's all about people.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
People is everything.
Yeah. You As know? Joe Strummer once said, without people, you're nothing.
That's correct.
Yep.
And without money, it's inconvenient.
Yep. Still got people.
Yeah. People will see you through everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Money doesn't buy happiness. It takes the sting out of being miserable, but it doesn't buy happiness.
Yeah.
So.
If someone wants to give me £1 million, I'll have a go, though.
Yeah, but the problem you've got is how many F-16s can you actually buy?
Oh, loads. Loads.
Where would you put them?
Don't care. I've got £1 million, I'll rent somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Them Scandinavian, I hate us talking about F-16s.
They are. Yeah, well, yeah. I'd probably buy 143, 450 as well.
Or just to see how the other half lives.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. We love Scania too, by the way.
We do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I really like Mercedes Benz, but we don't talk about it.
No. No. Not for Swedefest anyway. No. Oh dear. Right, well, I think we better wrap things up now, Rob.
Yeah,
it's been an absolute pleasure.
Yes.
Lovely to see you again.
I've really enjoyed it.
Good. Good. Yeah. And if I don't see you before, I shall see you down Swedefest, no doubt.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. VIP pass, I reckon.
That's very kind.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. You're welcome anytime.
Right, we'll see you soon.
Thank you.
Cheers, mate.
Bye.
Ta-da.
Thank you for tuning in to the Truck and Driver podcast, proudly sponsored by TomTom. As a special thanks to our listeners for trucking through the holiday season, we're giving away 1 month free of TomTom Go Navigation Truck. Simply download the Go Navigation app and use the code TRUCKYEAH. That's TRUCKYEAH when subscribing. Safe travels, folks.